Hello, hello. Hey, I'm Anton. If we haven't met so far, I'm the founder and CEO, captain of the global team Huge. Today we are here. I'm super excited and happy to announce a deal we've been working for a few months, and that's the acquisition of Traffic Puzzle. We are acquiring our leading game in our publishing portfolio. Original and unique game with massive potential, exceptional KPIs. It really is a unique match three experience, and this has massive growth potential, which we are very excited about. Today is a special day, and there's a lot more to talk about Traffic Puzzle. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about this. With that, I'll pass the mic to JB, who leads our M&A and can share more details and insights about Traffic Puzzle. JB.
Thanks, Anton. Hi, everyone. As a reminder, my name is John Bellamy, or JB, you might hear me described as. I'm the VP Strategy and Corporate Development here at Huge. And the team on the call with you today are largely behind the acquisition that you see in front of you. I'll spend a few minutes running through some slides. It should take no longer than around 15 minutes. And after that, we'll open the floor to Q&A. So please feel free to post your questions in the chat there. So Traffic Puzzle is exciting for a handful of reasons. It's a unique high-growth match three game that we've been publishing for just over 2 years now. It's in one of the largest and most established segments of mobile gaming globally. That's the puzzle category, which is worth around $10.6 billion as of 2020. It's a monstrous target for us to aim at, and one that we've found success in pursuing over the past 2 years. Traffic Puzzle, since publishing it in March of 2019, has been the highest growth product in our entire product portfolio and has exceptional monetization KPIs. In fact, this 64 cent average revenue per daily active user number that you see on the slide in front of you positions the game as the fifth most highly monetizing match three game on the market globally. After a year of discussions, management has successfully acquired the Traffic Puzzle asset. This is an asset deal, not a business acquisition, and there are no employees that have been hired or acquired as part of this process. Three more numbers we think you should take away with you today. One is the fact that we are generating almost $100,000 of daily revenue at the moment. We surpassed the $30 million revenue run rate threshold a few weeks ago. That revenue is being generated by almost 1 million monthly active users, and the growth profile of this product has been extraordinary. Comparing Q1 2021 revenue versus Q1 of 2020 shows 280% year-on-year growth. And comparing Q1 2021 versus Q4 2020, the quarter-on-quarter growth is 86%. So this is an exceptional trajectory. It's worth noting that we expect this growth trajectory to slow for a few of the coming months as we hand over and integrate the asset into Huge's ecosystem. However, we see extraordinary potential in the product beyond where we are. Perhaps more than my words can do, we have a short video to try and explain what is so exciting about this product. Hopefully this works. Success. Again. Okay, so let me pull this back to the full screen. Okay, quick check. Can we still see everything okay? Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a lot to follow up from. That's a lot of momentum to inherit as a speaker, but I'll do my best. So the growth profile we think is even more exciting than that video. It's been nothing short of extraordinary over the past 2 years. We've grown on two fronts. We've grown on the monetization front, as you can see on the left here. Our average revenue per daily active user has grown from 41 cents in August of 2019 to 64 cents in March of 2021. At the same time, we've grown our user base. So the monthly active user profile for the game is great also. We've grown from around 426,000 monthly active users to just shy of 1 million in March of 2021. So more than double since we started publishing the game. These two combine to generate a revenue growth profile that you see on the right of the slide. We've gone from $864,000 of monthly revenue in August of 2019 to just shy of 3 million in March of 2021. And we believe that there is plenty of growth yet still ahead of us for this product. So a little background on where we've come from. So in March 2019, as you've already heard, we published this game. And Traffic Puzzle, when we met it, was called Beep Beep Vroom. It was a very small, unproven product that we thought had potential, but had not yet proven its capabilities in the wider market. The game globally launched in May of 2019, and by August of 2019, we'd achieved a $10 million run rate with the product. Fast forward 6 months, or around a year rather, to May 2020, we had our first M&A discussions with the sellers. Inevitably, they didn't go anywhere at the time, of course. However, we expressed our interest and agreed to work together for the coming years in the hope that we find a common ground to agree on for a transaction. Moving forward, another half a year or so to December of 2020, and we break through the $20 million revenue run rate threshold. And this is when things really were heating up for the product. In January 2021, in light of this performance, we came back to the deal table and started discussing at a high level, but not negotiating the acquisition potential for this asset rather than the entire business. A couple of months later, we found ourselves in early March, where we had started negotiating an LOI, which of course is a non-binding letter of intent. In the same month, we broke through yet another revenue run rate threshold of $30 million. This is only 4 months after surpassing $20 million for the first time. In April of 2021, that leaves us to where we are today, where we've just acquired the asset. The ink is now drying on the paper, and the product's generating around $100,000 a day in revenue. So the transaction in a nutshell is broken into three tranches, and in total, we're looking at $38.9 million of cash, which is coming directly from Huge's cash balance. We are paying $9.5 million at signing within 10 working days of today. As of now, the assets are entirely under the ownership of Huge and they belong to us exclusively. However, we need to receive these assets. They need to be delivered to us and integrated into our ecosystem, into our infrastructure. We expect this process to take 3 to 6 months. However, we have the provision for much longer if we need. And this is known as the handover period. At the end of the handover period, once we are able to operate the product independently and fully on our own, we're then obligated to pay a further $25 million. And this marks the beginning of the start of the support period. The support period lasts for 12 months after the handover period and is effectively a help desk solution for Huge should we need anything from the sellers and the original developers of the product. At the end of this support period, provided that the level of service has been acceptable, we will pay the final $4.4 million tranche for a total of $38.9 million in consideration. There are many reasons why we think this deal makes extraordinary sense for us. I'll begin with the fact that this is, again, a tremendous growth story. Like I just mentioned, we're generating around $100,000 a day already, and the game is projected to be significantly EBITDA positive in 2022. Our conservative projections indicate that the acquisition will bring mid to high single digit millions of incremental EBITDA in 2022. And our slightly less conservative outlook indicates a low double-digit millions of incremental EBITDA in 2022. Without any KPI improvements nor operational synergies, we estimate that the minimum incremental EBITDA contribution in 2022 for this product is $4.59 million in order to be accretive. This is far below what we expect to be the case, And it's worth noting that by acquiring this asset, immediately we expect to save between $5 and $8 million of costs associated with our publishing agreement, revenue share obligations, and developer costs. This is in 2022. So already this is above the $4.6 million threshold in order to be accretive without any KPI improvements. We plan to invest further in user acquisition and to scale the product beyond where it currently is. In fact, we believe that this product could have many multiples of its current revenue run rate, and we believe that we can establish Traffic Puzzle as a leader within its category beyond where even it is today. The final point to note is that by acquiring this asset, we now have full control over the development of the product. We no longer rely on any third-party developers or partners, and we have the ability to apply our best-in-class free-to-play experts, game economy knowledge, marketing and user acquisition expertise directly in-house. We see this as massive potential for the game. We also recognize the benefits to financial diversification or product genre diversification that this acquisition represents. Traffic Puzzle is already our third backbone product after Huge Casino and Billionaire Casino, and is the first cornerstone in the casual game category. Furthermore, it reinforces growth in the business. As I mentioned, it's Huge's fastest growing product, and monthly revenue has more than tripled since early 2020. We believe that we're still very, very far from this potential revenue ceiling, and so we expect to see far more of this to come. And finally, Puzzle Games is one of the largest and most established industry segments, and by doubling down on this segment, we expand our total addressable market by $10.6 billion. Operationally, we believe that this is an excellent fit for Huge. As you know, and you've seen this slide many times before, Huge operates with this structure in mind, where we have centralized service providing teams that support and uplift the many studios inside the business from external sources and from new product development internally alike. By leveraging all of these existing expertise and resources, we believe that we can exploit the fact that Huge has best-in-class expertise and best-in-class resources available and empower the product like it hasn't been before. Now, coming to financial effects and expectations. We expect that in 2021, we will be able to pay the first two tranches of consideration. As a reminder, they are $9.5 million and $25 million respectively. These will be paid from the company's cash reserves, and we won't require any financing to do so. In terms of revenue and EBITDA impact, we expect immaterial, near on negligible impact on revenue and EBITDA in 2021. As I mentioned, the focus of the team in this year will be to integrate and receive handover of the product so that we have the ability to operate it independently. In 2022, we expect the final third tranche of $4.4 million to be payable to the sellers. And we expect mid single digit millions of incremental revenue in 2022 and high single digit millions to low double digit millions of incremental EBITDA in 2022. Of course, we expect a more significant EBITDA impact than revenue owing to the aforementioned $5 to $8 million of savings associated with the release from our publishing agreement. On that note, I'll pause and maybe hand over the floor to the Q&A. Gabby, are you with us?
Yeah, sorry. Just a reminder, in order to ask a question, you can click on raise hand button or you can type your question in Q&A. Chat, and let me just unmute the first person, Ken Ramph from Jefferies.
Hello, everybody. Hear me okay?
Yeah, hey, Ken. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to start by saying Project Roadworks was not the most secret title I can imagine. But anyway, proper questions. Firstly, just to understand a little bit why you structured the deal as an asset purchase, why you're not taking any of the Picardio team, and then what's going to change? Are you going to need to hire a few more devs on your side to support the game? Do you have a different plan than you would have had before about UA, integrating kind of social aspects? And then second question is more just to understand a little bit, any data on the split between kind of ad revenue and in-app purchases and equally, you know, iOS versus Android and so on, obviously with kind of IDFA in the background. Thanks.
Got it. So I think we can answer in reverse order. I'll begin with in-app purchases versus advertising revenue. So as of today, 20 to 30% on any given day of the total revenue is coming from in-app advertising monetization streams. On iOS, this is 8 to 10% of the total revenue for the product. So 8 to 10% of the total daily revenue comes from iOS in-app advertising streams. Therefore, when it comes to the context of IDFA, we expect that in a bear case scenario, we're looking at low single digit percentages of delta to the overall product revenue. Tal, do you want to touch on this?
No, I think you said it perfectly. I think the game monetizes exceptionally with IAP. That's kind of the uniqueness of the game, and the majority of the ARPDAU and RPPU are derived from users actually paying for virtual goods and all kind of different things in the game itself. And that's also what kind of caused us to be so curious and about this game, and very, very confident about the ability of this game to monetize and hold users for a very long time. So IAP is the main driver.
Yeah, thanks, Tal. So yeah, I'll just reiterate that right now the average revenue per daily active user from in-app purchases alone places Traffic Puzzle as the fifth best monetizing puzzle game in the entirety of the global market, which is obviously a $10.6 billion market. That's where we see extraordinary potential. Your second question, I believe, was whether we'd need to hire additional headcount in order to build a team around this product. I'm very pleased to say that we have a team of 21 free-to-play experts spun up and ready to go from within the business. So there will be no incremental cost associated with hiring in order to begin this project. We may make further hires in the future as are needed, but as of right now, the team has been sourced from internal sources, with the exception of the new general manager. The new GM for this product inside Huge is a person called Yotam Shimshevitz. He is ex-Playtika, he is extraordinary. Maybe Elad, do you want to touch on just who Yotam is?
Sure, I'll talk a little bit about Yotam, but also about the team and kind of how we're approaching this. And I think, Ken, your point was, why we didn't buy the team and why we decided to build it in-house or to operate it in-house. And maybe I'll start with that, is that I think that one of the clear upsides is really we'll call it a deeper organizational integration. We believe that now that we have the product in our hands, we will be able to drive incremental upside across the board, right? Operational KPIs in the game will go up. Our technology will have a deeper integration into the system. Having the team in-house will allow us really to do the Huge magic, right? And to add that fuel that we always talk about in-house, right? That we fuel our games up into the next level. We're super confident that this game can be substantially larger than it is today. This is just the beginning of Traffic Puzzle. It's just the birth. And I think owning it and operating in-house will allow us to maximize the potential in the short term. Regarding Yotam, everybody knows our talent strategy. I think, or at least most of you who follow us should know the talent strategy, that we're extremely aggressive about bringing in the best experts on the globe. Yotam comes to us from Playtika, many years of experience, quite an extremely wide knowledge and background, both project, R&D, monetization, CRM, economy, product. And so he's a rare breed, and we have a lot of trust in him, and we have a lot of trust in the team. We've shuffled around and brought in experts from many teams inside the organization to build this team, and we feel super confident, right? We always start with the team, right? That's where our obsession is. Let's build an amazing team, and then the rest will work. And so we did the same here. We're super excited.
Yeah, fully agree.
Yeah, I think this is one of the benefits of the build and buy, and what we built organization-wise, we can do these type of things. And when we see opportunity to really focus on the game, like we will be now doing for Traffic Puzzle, and make it much more bigger.
Yeah, and maybe just to add to that, Ken, you asked about the split between iOS and Android. It's roughly 55-45 with a slight advantage for Android. So almost split in half, 50-50 between those two platforms at the moment.
Perfect. Thanks very much, all. I'll drop back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, so the next question from the line of Lyra from Jefferies.
Hi guys, could you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I'm just wondering, I think recently we have seen like a rise in the popularity of like what we call like hybrid downloads or the mashup features, which are kind of validated by the success of CoinMasters. So I'm just wondering, like, with the acquisition of Traffic Puzzle, it's a long-term plan here to kind of like mesh like some of the casual game features from Traffic Puzzle into like the huge car casino games.
Got it. Good question. It's worth noting that given the size, scale, and growth rate of the product, Traffic Puzzle already is a core game for Huge. When it comes to the overlap and the future plans for the product, One identified matter that was brought to us actually by Yotam on UGM is that the product is exceptionally well performant in the early game, but we see extraordinary opportunity for users who've maybe been playing for a year or longer to keep them involved with additional mechanics and kind of long-term user retention features. The opportunity for a mashup or a meta game of sorts, a new set of objectives for the player, they're very much on our roadmap and something that we'll be exploring. And then finally, the overlap in player demographics between match three games and social casino games, slots games in particular, is fairly extraordinary. It's a very close overlap. And we see very large network effect possibilities, network sharing possibilities between our core franchises in the social casino space and our core franchise in Traffic Puzzle. We've not modeled in or expected any of those overlaps to bear fruition when valuing this product. However, it's definitely something that we see as an area of opportunity.
Yeah, maybe I'll just add a couple points here from a marketing standpoint in terms of targeting and the audience. So we see a big overlap between these two kind of genres of a social casino, match three slash blast kind of games. So that, like JB said, there's a lot of upside here of the network effect of cross-promotion between our different games to Traffic Puzzle or from Traffic Puzzle. That's one. The second thing, it's an interesting point when you talked about the mashups and meta layers and kind of new genres of games. It's important to note that Traffic Puzzle is almost a match three genre of its own. It's match three. It's a blast game. It's very, very unique. It's much more, it's different than any match three regular game or a blast game that you guys might have seen or played with. It's very, very unique in terms of the gameplay itself, how challenging it is and so on. So that's an interesting point of its own, the uniqueness of this specific game. That's also something that was very, very interesting for us, part of the reason why we decided to acquire it.
Yeah, I'd say that when you look at this casual puzzle space, that many of the games are quite the same. It's very hard to have very differentiating mechanics and gameplay. And Traffic Puzzle is a really unique and original game.
Definitely.
Got it. That definitely sounds exciting. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lara.
Okay, so the next question comes from the line of Matthew Walker from Credit Suisse.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hey guys, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, first of all, obviously, congratulations on doing the first deal as a public company. I've got a few questions, if that's okay. First one is, when you look at your slides, there was a massive spike in MAUs in October, from like 300,000 up to 900 and something. So the first question is, what drove that, and then kind of why was it kind of flattish after that? That's the first question. The second question is, remind us of the revenue share for Traffic Puzzle. Was it 45%? Was it 50%? And did that cost come in the R&D line? That's the second question. The third question is, you said it was going to slow down. Does that mean that there was a lot of user acquisition costs going into this game, and now during the integration period there's going to be less? Or was it at the, you know, Piccadilla's behest, so they were, you know, getting the numbers up dramatically before this deal was closed. If you could just sort of explain why it's going to slow down and how much you think it's going to slow down, and then when you think it will pick up again.
Yep.
And then the final question is, obviously it looks like you're paying, if you could just clarify, it looks like you're paying roughly one time sales in 2021. And then when you include the savings that you're going to make, you're paying something like four times EBITDA 2022.
Matthew, we lost you.
We lost Matthew, I think.
That's some choppy audio.
Let's just give him a few seconds and see if he chimes back in.
If you could just sort of...
Hey, we lost you for a moment, so maybe you can repeat the last part.
Yeah, the last question was, it looks like you're paying one time sales in 21, four times EBITDA in 22. Why was the seller willing to sell it so cheaply?
Okay, all good. I'll see if I can remember all four of those questions as we go through them. You may need to remind me, Matthew. You first asked about monthly active users and why they spiked so aggressively between October and November. The first thing that's important to note, and I think you already know this, is Huge has been responsible for the user acquisition efforts for this game since we entered our publishing agreement in March of 2019. So the entire ownership and responsibility for the active user profiles that you see, that's on us. And so we've always had control. The reason why we started spending so aggressively in October, well, from October through November and beyond, is a function of how we make our user acquisition decisions. We take a very strict view on return on ad spend or return on invested capital for advertising, or paybacks, you may have heard it called either of those. And so once the user acquisition or LTV to CAC numbers line up and they are sufficient within our parameters, we're happy to spend until they no longer are. The reality is that we've been proving out the LTV to CAC forecast for a matter of months through 2020, as we saw the potential of the game rising, and as we saw the average revenue per daily active user rising. And once we had confirmation that we had green light to spend within our payback parameters, that's exactly what we did. Hit the gas until we felt that it was a reasonable level of growth. As you can see on the earlier slide in the presentation, average revenue per daily active user continued to grow during that period. And so from when we started spending, we lifted from approximately 40 cents ARPDAU up to 64, despite the fact that we were spending more aggressively than we had been previously. And we think that's very telling of the potential for further user acquisition that we still have today. You also asked, sorry, Matthew, I lost myself in my own question there. Can you remind me of what question two was there?
Yeah, it was on the revenue. Question two was on the revenue share. So I had in my mind that it was about 45% of revenues that you had to pay away, but I can't remember exactly. And I was also wondering, did that cost come in the in your R&D line?
Yeah, okay, good question. So the developer revenue share is a net revenue share. And so the revenue share only applies to gross revenue, less platform fees, less user acquisition, less developer costs in month. Right, so there's all these line items that come out before the user before the revenue share is calculated. Although it is a 45% share to Piccadilla, and 55% share to Huge. The final thing that's really worth noting, and this is critical, is that we had a recoup mechanism baked into our publishing arrangement, which meant that any user acquisition costs or developer costs that were incurred in the history of the product by Huge were fully recoupable before we paid out any revenue share to the partner. We were expecting to achieve the point of break even in that recoupable balance equation in early to mid 2022, at which point we would be expected to start paying a 45% net revenue share per month. This is how we got to the $5 to $8 million in expected revenue share obligations in 2022. And that's the effective saving that we're making. That's why it's so impactful on EBITDA in 2022 and beyond. In terms of where it's located on the P&L, we have a developer cost line item. It's not within R&D, Grzegorz, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it sits just below user acquisition in COGS, is that correct?
You're on mute.
Yes, it's in cost of sales.
Yes. And then Matthew, you'll have to spoon feed me your next question again.
Last question.
I think it was on the valuation. So I think it was on the valuation. So I think it was, does this work out at sort of one-time sales, and then with the saving in 2022, about four times EBITDA in 2022.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
That's about right. In terms of why the seller agreed to sell so cheaply, well, we actually think we found an extraordinary deal with them. We had a publishing arrangement that was very favorable. It was expected to last for a further 8 years before we needed to renegotiate this package. And therefore, I think the sellers were very interested in receiving liquidity early. And by way of doing so, this was the valuation that we ended up at. We think it's very easy to defend, and naturally, Matthew, that means that it's very accretive to us based on our projections on a 2022 basis.
Just final, why are you talking about revenue accretion in 2022? Because you were already getting the revenues. So why are you getting additional revenue?
Sorry, just to clarify.
You're already fully consolidating the revenue, so.
No. Sorry, just to clarify, that's EBITDA accretion. So this deal is very accretive on an EBITDA basis in 2022, based on the revenue share obligation savings that we're making, and even without improvements made to the product. However, needless to say, we expect to improve both revenue and EBITDA versus the original projections.
That's fine, but on your slide 10, you say mid-single digit millions of incremental revenue impact in 2022. So I'm just asking, what is the reason for that?
Okay, very good. So we expect that we will be able to drive better product KPIs through the acquisition of this business, and also by reallocating user acquisition dollars, so increasing the focus of user acquisition in the business on Traffic Puzzle, we should be able to increase the revenue line for the business. In our least conservative assumptions, our most aggressive assumptions, we assume that we could improve versus forecast the average revenue per daily active user by 10% through the period of November 2021 and December 2022. So even our most aggressive expectations are not that aggressive. That's effectively why we believe that we can make this impact. Simply put, by having control over the product and the R&D or development decision-making process, and with the leadership of Yotam and his team of free-to-play experts, we think this is very achievable.
Maybe I'll just add one comment about that. Matthew, as part of my job here at Huge, I'm the CMO, but I also own the publishing business, so I'm very much in the details about working with all third-party developers. We are very, very confident in the ability of our own internal team with the type of experts and experience that we can build to improve product KPIs. And even in our most conservative approach, the product is gonna generate much more revenue for the company and gonna be much more impactful as a top grossing game than it is today. And that's something that I'm very, very confident about. And I've seen it happen many, many times, depending on the team, depending on what people we're gonna assign. And we're very confident that that will be the case, even with a very conservative kind of prediction and assumptions that we've made in the model. Very, very conservative.
And sorry, one final one. I promise this is the last one.
Sure.
I think you gave two figures for iOS. So one time you said it's the revenue is 50-50 iOS Android. And then another time you said something like 8-10% iOS. So I'm sorry, I just misheard it. I just want to get it. I want to understand.
To clarify,
which one?
8-10% is the revenue on iOS from in-app advertising. 8-10% of the total product revenue from in-app advertising on iOS. The 50-50 figure or 55-45 figure that Tal mentioned is the overall revenue split between iOS and Google Play, inclusive of in-app purchases and advertising.
Got it. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for being patient with the questions. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. Thanks.
Okay, so next question from Michał Wojciechowski from IPOPEMA.
Hi, Michał.
Hello, guys. Do you hear me?
Hi, Michał. Yes.
Okay, so I have three questions. The first one, why did you decide to make this acquisition right now? Do you think that you could be more confident after, let's say, a few additional months of KPI analysis?
Good question. So we have been publishing this game for over 2 years now. We know the product extremely well, we know the code extremely well, and we know the KPIs of the product extremely well. I think we've spent 2 years building enormous confidence in the product's potential and our ability to make improvements. And I think we actually struck a very nice balance. I think if we'd waited too much longer, we'd have scaled the product further beyond where it is today and ended up paying a significant premium relative to the deal that we have on the table today. And so I think that we timed it quite well in that we are confident in the product and understand it well. After 2 years of analysis, but also the price hadn't run away with us, given that we were planning to scale this product beyond where it is today.
Okay, sure, that's clear. The second one is, what level of EBITDA margin do you assume for Traffic Puzzle in 2022? It could be, you know, like some range or rough estimate.
Yeah, so we've mentioned that we expect the EBITDA impact of the acquisition to be high single-digit millions to low double-digit millions of incremental EBITDA. We're not guiding on absolute EBITDA generation or percentage margin. However, we can say that we, at the moment, the product, as it goes through its growth phase, is not yet EBITDA positive. It is forecasted to be in early 2022. So that I think that's all we're guiding to today.
Mm-hmm. And could you say that this product should be more profitable in 2022 than your core games, or it should be the profitability should be similar?
Sounds a little bit like question two.
Okay,
we're not going to guide on.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I understand. Okay, so the third question is about your plans on new user acquisition for this game. So basically, have they materially changed after the acquisition of the product? Do you see this new situation affecting your targeted UA revenue ratio in 2021?
Good question. So we are not intending to materially change the current rate of spending for the product in the coming months. Like I said, we're focusing on getting the product handed over and integrated. That comes above all else. And so the best way to ensure stability while we do that is to not change too much. And so that means that our user acquisition profile will stay very similar to where it is today. And that doesn't materially affect our expected revenue as a UA as a proportion of revenue figure.
Okay, all clear. Thank you very much.
Super, thanks.
Thanks, Michał. Okay, so one more time, questions from Ken from Jefferies.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Actually, there was a question from Matthew that I think bears, maybe you answered it, which was, you know, your comment about a slowdown in integration. John, maybe just addressed, is kind of the implication is maybe your UA plan is proceeding as it was before. Maybe it wraps up later. It was just to try and understand why there was the slowdown. And then in addition, I had a couple of quick questions. One was, I guess the easy answer to why there's no stock involved is you aren't actually buying the company or the staff. So it wouldn't be logical for the Picardia guys to be kind of shareholders. And the other one, again, was related to integration. You know, are the changes that you would make in infrastructure, MMP, anything like that? Are there any sort of, it seems like you've been pretty much in control of this. So I guess not many, but anything to do there? Thanks.
I think you answered the first two questions yourself, actually, Ken. You're right on both counts. In particular, with regards to Matthew's question about the potential slowdown in growth, that's exactly right. We're prioritizing the handover. That doesn't mean we expect material decline in the product. It just means that we intend to spend at the rate that we have been. And so the 86% quarter-on-quarter growth figure that we quoted at the beginning of the presentation should not be expected in the next three quarters too. We'd be very happy, but that's not the expectation. Your last question is with regards to the infrastructure and
maybe JB, I can take that just to give shed a little more color on that. Right. So you know, when we operate with a developer as a publisher, right, we already integrate some of our we lightly integrate some of our systems. But really, what we're going to do now is take that lightly and make it heavily integrated into our systems, and really our back office systems really fuel our capabilities, right? So our experts and our knowledge and our ability to really take it to the next level, they need the deeper integration in order really to do their magic. And that's really what's going to happen in the next few months, right? And we're going to spend time and do this slowly and responsibly in order to do it right, and to make sure that we can then manage the growth correctly in the coming quarters and years. So there's no, we'll call it deep changes to the architecture of the product, but there is deeper integrations into our huge fuel, right? For lack of a better description.
Thanks. May I ask probably for Anton a follow-up, which is, I guess this is in some ways a little bit untypical in terms of M&A. It's a try before you buy, publishing relationship. So it's a revenue share saving and so on. And it's an all cash deal and so on. So, I presume you've still got the pipeline of deals that might represent, currently unconnected companies where it would be a corporate deal and, it would be kind of sales and EBITDA and stuff like that. So is that right? That sort of those opportunities still continue? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Absolutely. So the strategy is systematic build and buy. And the publishing is clearly, showing here its benefit. So it's kind of funneling high quality M&A prospects. And now, we are acquiring Traffic Puzzle. So we are excited what we have ongoing on the publishing side. And yet, there most probably will be also what you would label, as new acquisitions and buying complete companies. So we are not stopping here. There's a lot more to come.
Thank you.
Okay, and I have a question from the chat. First one, regarding the incremental EBITDA you list, what revenues are you assuming in 2022 for that incremental in EBITDA? And are you netting out the cost savings from Recoup you will no longer be saving? And from the same person, can you point to a specific example to how the development of the game is changing to bring the incremental revenue benefits?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tackle question one first. You're absolutely right. Yes, we are netting out the $5 to $8 million of expected net revenue contribution, the share contribution that we projected for 2022, that is being netted out, even without any KPI or improvements or operational synergies. That's, as I mentioned, $5 to $8 million of savings, and therefore $5 to $8 million of EBITDA addition. We're expecting in 2022 incremental revenues of mid-single-digit millions, which of course is less than the high single-digit millions or low double-digit millions of EBITDA increment for exactly the reason we just discussed, that $5 to $8 million delta. Hopefully that makes sense. And then the second question about specific examples, I can give you a very, I think, compelling blanket answer. What Huge does best, as you know, is build live operations for highly social games. That is our bread and butter. It's exactly what's propelled us to where we are today. It is the backbone on which Huge Casino and Billionaire Casino have found their success. We intend to do exactly the same thing with Traffic Puzzle, with a focus on excellent live operations, running events in game, and also maximizing the social and multiplayer aspects of the game. Elad, Talek, you want to give any more concrete or niche examples? Feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I think your example was a great one. And I think it is many, many things, right? There's a lot of things to do and there's a lot of upside to be had. It comes in the game economy, in the live operations, on the product level, on the operational level. We have a big plan for this game. So I think giving a specific example will just not it will be too narrow of an answer. In general, you should expect a lot.
Yeah. The one thing that I'll just add is that, like Alad said, we've listed numerous things that we're going to work on and kind of enhance in the game. And as a publisher, our ability to impact those type of things is more limited than the owner of the game. And when it's our own internal teams with our own internal knowledge and expertise and secret sauce. So that's something super significant of how we can impact the game KPIs and all the different kind of KPIs that Alad talked about in different kind of channels, from retention to product, monetization, game economy, level design, first time user experience, and the list goes on and on and on of the things that we're planning to enhance in the game.
Okay, and the next question from the line of Matthew Walker. Matthew, you can speak.
Hi, thanks. It's just one quick follow-up, which was on the costs. So if I remember rightly from the IPO, the only thing that's in cost of sales is the platform fees from Apple and Google and a little bit of server costs, right? So I do think that the revenue share was actually either in R&D or it was in G&A. So can you just clarify, please? Because I don't think that the, if I'm remembering it rightly, I don't think the costs of publishing deals come in cost of sales or come in cost of goods sold. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew, for that question. You remember very correctly, and the only indication that it makes is that there was no revenue share up till now. And this is because the publishing contracts provide that Huge first recoups the investments it made before it starts the revenue share. So the revenue share would yet to come. And we expected the revenue share payouts to Picadilla to start this year.
Right. So what you're saying is you would, if you had a revenue share, you would have put it into cost of cost.
That would be part of cost of, yeah.
But very because much you're like now,
development piece, yeah. Mm-hmm. So very, very much like distribution.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, I see. Okay. Thanks for clarification. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, we have two more questions on the chat. I think we can combine them. How do you see the life cycle of Traffic Puzzle? Is that evergreen in nature? And why are you buying a game that you are already publishing?
Yeah, okay, good questions. I think we covered number two in part already, but I'll cover both questions here now. Where is the product in its life cycle? It's still in the early growth stage. I couldn't be more confident of that. When we look at the progress that has been made on monetization and scale of the user base, in just the last 2 years without control of the product, I think we have no doubt that it can be taken far further than when it already is. We talk about many multiples of the current revenue run rate, and I think that's indicative of how we think about potential. So the game is by no means maturing yet. The second question was, why acquire a company that a game that we already publish? Simply put, because it grants us better financial dynamics, it grants us total control over the development and scale of the product, and it grants us release from a revenue share obligation that would be between $5 and $8 million in 2022 and significantly more for every year thereafter, provided the product continues to perform. I think that in a nutshell is why we've executed this transaction now and why we've chosen to do what we've done.
I do want to add just one thing regarding, I think the first question was, is this game evergreen in nature? And I think the answer is 100%. I think the evergreen in nature, first of all, is proven by the category itself. If you look at, everybody knows Candy Crush, right? It's still there. It's still there because it's an evergreen game by definition. And I think what makes Map 3 games even more evergreen than just their nature is really operating them like a entertainment venue, which is really down our expertise, right? These live operations is exactly what turns a game that has longevity into having a lot of longevity. So definitely an evergreen game.
Okay, one more last question that I have. How does this acquisition affect your 2021 guidance?
Yeah, good question. It doesn't, is the short version. It is no material impact on revenue or EBITDA in 2021. Once again, we'll be focusing on the handover of the product and we will maintain a holding pattern with the game. That doesn't mean growth is going to disappear entirely. It just means that we are focusing on stability while we integrate the product. Therefore, the effect on 2021 should be close to zero at both revenue and EBITDA lines. 2022, once again, is where we expect to see the beginning of the significant financial effects associated with the acquisition.
Okay, one more question. To try and sense the impact of the recoup, if we were to assume the same KPIs in 2023 as in 2022, what sort of savings would you see?
I wish I could say that it was as simple as I could give you a number. Even if I could, I probably wouldn't. But the reality is that even if the KPIs stayed the same, the rate at which we acquire users would heavily determine the top line and therefore also the EBITDA and net revenue line items. It would be unrealistic for us to guide towards that today, so we won't be. However, not materially different to 2022. In fact, likely more than that as old user cohorts continue to generate margin.
Okay, thank you. So I don't see any further questions in the chat or raised hands. So I will now ask Anton for closing remarks.
Yes, so thank you all for taking the time to hear us out and learn more of the Traffic Puzzle. If you've kind of now heard so much of Traffic Puzzle but haven't yet downloaded the game, please do it now. The game is, or after the meeting, game is available on App Store, Google Play, and Amazon. Super fun, unique, casual puzzle game that all you casual puzzle game fans will be loving it. Have fun. Thank you again. Bye.
Very much, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thanks.